Well, he's had a couple of weeks off, but he is back. Dennis Stewart, hello. Lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you, Amanda.
Thank you. Now, Dennis, today you'd like to explain what's meant by Western herbalism and give some classic examples of herbs that are major representatives of that system of herbalism. Would it be fair to say that Western herbalism is more scientific than other systems?
Oh, well, it depends on how you look at it. But let's look at the term Western herbalism and why do we use that term and why is it becoming, well, more recognised even in government and semi-government circles? Western herbalism is the term that's used to describe a system of medical herbalism that draws on herbs from the United Kingdom, from Europe, and in particular from the United States. It's a system that has developed over many hundreds of years. It was probably the discovery of the United States by the early Puritans that moved there, and their noticing of the use of herbs by the American Red Indians. And they were very astute and took on board the skills, the medical skills of the American Red Indians, and began to incorporate those herbs into the herbs that they brought from the United Kingdom in particular. And that became, if you like, the basis of a worldwide explosion and interest and proving of herbal medicine. These days, the term has been extended to incorporate the use of European herbs. And by that, I mean the herbs of Europe, the continent of Europe. They share a lot of similarities with the herbs in the United Kingdom, but European herbalism has some distinct characteristics. It's fair to say that the system that I have been associated with all my life is certainly Western herbalism, albeit it is much more eclectic today than what it was when I started practicing and teaching. I reflected on it a lot. While I've had a couple of weeks off, if you like, and did some interesting reading. And I think it's best to see it as practiced in English-speaking countries as a system that's founded around outstandingly important herbs. All the herbs in the Western herbal tradition are fascinating and useful, but there are some that are outstanding. And I thought, now, what would I mention as typical outstanding representatives of the system? And first of all, I thought, well, the herb slippery elm, for instance. Not many people realise that a slippery elm is an American herb. It's based on the bark of an elm tree. The botanical name of the elm tree is Ulmus fulva. And to see the bark is quite fascinating. It's a unique sort of bark, but slippery elm bark has made its reputation not only in the United States, not only in England, but in Australia and other English-speaking countries because of its multiple properties. And that's what made me say, well, look, it would have to be probably the supreme representative of Western herbalism. And why do I say that? Because listeners would have heard me many times on this program mention slippery elm. Let me summarize them. What are some of the properties that make this herb so famous? Well, in simple terms, it's probably one of the most soothing herbs for many systems of the body. It's remarkably soothing on the gut, particularly the stomach, which has made it useful to treat some levels of what we call reflux. And that's important because there's a big retreat taking place in mainstream medicine from the initial standard drugs that were used to treat reflux. Many of those have come with great suspicion. And slippery elm, I'm frequently recommending to people that have mild reflux to try the use of slippery elm powder in varying dosages. It's easily procured in capsule form, tablet form. I actually prefer the powder itself. I think you get a more prompt result. And the powder, when taken in, has a remarkably soothing effect on inflammation and even ulceration. within the stomach. There would be few patients of mine over the years that would not have used slippery elm as one means of trying to soothe various pathologies that were occurring on the gut.
So like reflux?
Yeah, reflux is a classic example. And again, there it's underused. But I think I'm saying the right thing when I say the most popular group of drugs have now fallen into a degree of suspicion, because the emphasis on those drugs, and I'll not mention names, people that are on reflux medication should request from their doctor what the medication is doing and what are the good points and the bad points. But I've seen patients with very mild but troublesome reflux conditions, we used to call it heartburn.
All right.
Use the slippery elm and a couple of times a day, a good teaspoonful, used with milk or any other dilutant, is a pleasant substance to take and pretty well promptly give some relief from some cases of reflux. Not all, and I'm not putting down the medical approach, but I'm saying it's a very safe alternative for some levels of heartburn or reflux, and I would suggest that be tried before patients accede to using some of the other medication. The other thing about slippery elm is that it's remarkable as it passes through the system. It has a relaxant effect on the urinary tract, and any Western herbalist trained in the tradition of Western herbalism would know that the taking of slippery elm powder, usually in conjunction with other herbs, brings about a very soothing effect in some levels of cystitis. And the other quite remarkable effect is its effect on the large bowel, on conditions in the large bowel ranging from mild levels of colitis through to diverticulitis is a standard recommendation in the literature to be a treatment option for that condition, particularly in its mildest forms. And of course, one of the remarkable features is the way in which slippery elm has a regulating effect on transit time through the bowel. And so it's one of my favourite recommendations to patients who suffer irritable bowel syndrome, whose bowel function is irregular and sometimes troublesome. The use of slippery elm powder, usually in a dose of a teaspoonful a couple of times a day, is another reason why slippery elm heads the list of famous representative herbs in the Western herbal tradition.
All right. Well,
that was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was very good. It was very good. Well, we'll continue talking about that and other Western herbalism. This is Health Naturally on 2NURFM. We've got Jenny from Cameron Park on the line. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi. Now, you want to talk about digestion?
Yes.
Hello, Jenny. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
That's good.
Dennis, after many years, I've just been diagnosed with having achalasia.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's a narrowing of the esophagus going into the bowel.
Yes, yes.
And I just wondered if slippery elm would help that.
I would,
or what I can, you know, have to
I would think that would be something worthwhile trying. Your good doctor would have you on medication, would he, Jenny?
Not really.
Okay. Is your condition very active or is it only spasmodic?
Oh, no, it's all the time. I've got to be very careful what I eat.
Okay, so you're basically eating mashed food. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, I can't see any reason why slippery elm wouldn't be useful for you. It was in its great tradition that goes back to the American frontiers time. It was also used as a food for elderly people who had trouble eating anything else. It was used for convalescent purposes, and it was used because it was pretty simple to take. It can be turned almost into a porridge. And what I would suggest, and by the way, I'd run it past your doctor first. I can't see any reason why there would be any objection because it's a food, but I would be thinking to start with, to try it, take a teaspoonful of slippery elm powder and make it, mix it with some water or milk as if you were making porridge, and see how you go taking that, I would think that it could be a useful thing to try. It sort of fits into the description of Slippery Elm. I don't want to sound too glib, but the name Slippery Elm has something going for it, I suggest, in your particular case, Jenny. So I think you might be on a winner there.
Okay, yeah. But thank you very much.
Make sure that you take a powder. I can't see any virtue in this case of your taking a capsule or a tablet.
No.
Try the powder, which you can get from your health food store or pharmacy these days, or maybe even from some of the supermarkets, and start off with a very small teaspoonful, convert it into a pleasant porridge-type situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if that helps, build on that.
All right. Okay.
Good luck with that, Jenny.
Good. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Jenny.
Good.
Bye.
Good.
Bye. And next we have Robert from Madawi. Hi, Robert. How can we help you?
Hello, Doctor.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
Good, thank you. I've got gastric reflux, but I've got no symptoms.
Okay.
I've been told for many years.
Yes.
For a long while. I'm on Pariet.
Yes.
Recently was bumped up to twice a day.
Yes.
And they put me on Motilium.
Oh, okay. You're on Motilium. Okay.
Yeah, so I have that twice to three times. I'm supposed to have it at lunchtime, but I forget it half the time.
Okay.
I'm not used to lunchtime medication, but anyway.
So your doctor's obviously concerned that you might be developing a Barrett's esophagus.
Yes, I'd say so. And
you're being regularly monitored, of course.
Yeah. I've got to go back in August, about September or so.
Okay.
My brother is about 8 years older than me.
Yes.
Thereabouts, and he has got that. He's on the edge of Barrett's.
Yes.
On that. So I'm just wondering, I'd have to talk to the doctor, of course, but do you think it's going to help mine? Because you kept on saying about moderate.
Yeah, okay. This is the sort of level that I think herbs are particularly useful in. That is before a condition has reached a serious acute condition. Where it's moderate, the use of complementary medicine gives you an additional edge. Obviously, you would not expect me to in any way at all criticise the medical approach. I subscribe to that. But I do know the slippery elm, due to its chemistry, has the ability to put a protective membrane over tissue that's inflamed. And it's used, therefore, in reflux conditions, even where those conditions are symptomatic. Because it is, if you like, a food and not so much a drug, I could see that it could only be very, very beneficial. But I would also suggest that it would be useful for you to go to the net, discuss it with your doctor again. But the herb licorice, particularly as a powder or as what we call a fluid extract, has some quite remarkable properties also in addressing inflammatory conditions, both from the mouth right through to the large bowel. I would think that if I had that level of problem that you have, that I would be certainly interested in complementing what your good doctor and specialist is doing by running past them the possibility of using some slippery herb with or without, but preferably with, some fluid extract of licorice.
What's that, sorry? Fluid extract.
Now, fluid extract is nothing fancy. All it is licorice root that has been powdered and converted into a fluid. And in that form, it's able to be measured out in therapeutic dosages. With licorice, which is one of the most popularly used herbs medically, retail, and certainly by professional herbalists, one has to be cautious about the dosage that one uses, because the licorice in a high dose, in an unmonitored dose, sometimes, I've rarely seen this, but sometimes can cause an elevation of blood pressure. So using a fluid extract in the set dosage, which I think, but don't hold me to it, 2 to 5 mils of the fluid extract is the dosage for taking licorice. I would think that if you research that and even discussed it with your GP, if he or she is interested, there may be something there that both of you could discover as being beneficial for this mild condition that you have, Robert.
All right. Well, it sounds like I might start that first one you said, the powder.
Slippery Elm.
And that, and when I see the specialist, I'll talk to her about, because it sounds like what you're saying is, it's going to complement what I'm doing already.
That's the way that I would interpret it. And shortly, if we get a chance this morning, I'll talk about the definition of herbal medicine that I subscribe to and which I suspect our profession subscribe to, and that is a complementary system of medicine, not necessarily, in fact, most unlikely to be a competitive system, but a complementary system to treat conditions like this from a different perspective.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough for that help.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Robert. And we've got Donna from Cameron Park on the line. Thanks for holding, Donna. How can we help you?
Oh, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, Donna. How can we help you?
I just wanted to check with you, Dennis. You were just talking about the powder for the slippery elm powder.
Yes.
Is there any difference in taking it as a capsule instead? I had gastric sleeve surgery 10 years ago, and I do take Nexium every day for heartburn.
Yes, of course.
Is there a difference in take? Could I take it as a capsule?
Look, many people choose to take slippery elm as a capsule, and I can see no reason why it shouldn't work as well there as when it's just taken as a powder. The only thing about using it as a capsule is that some people have difficulty swallowing capsules. You may not have that problem.
No, we actually take a lot of the capsules that you talk about on your show. We take a lot of natural stuff now.
Good on you. I prescribe slippery elm in multiple ways. The only reason I suggested people use the powder is that I tend to think that it has more of, I might be overstating the case here, more of an immediate effect, particularly on the upper gut, the stomach in particular. I think after that, there's no reason to doubt the efficacy of the capsules. But keep in mind that the dose for slippery elm is pretty significant, so you would have to be taking quite a significant number of capsules to equate with the therapeutic dose of slippery elm. And that's another reason why sometimes the powder is a more economical way of using the herb. The encapsulated preparation is very conveniently taken, but it would need to be taken in the right dosage. Now, if you're in doubt about that, you're welcome to ring my rooms and I can give you, or my staff can easily give you, the therapeutic dose for slippery elm powder. But there's no reason why the capsule representing slippery elm powder can't be used just as well. But again, so long as it is
in.
Yeah, and I think you'd appreciate that.
Yeah, and would you still take the Nexium every day, or then just only take Nexium if you need it?
You follow the guidance of your doctor, but Nexium belongs to a bracket of drugs that, in my opinion, is nowhere near as popularly used today for various reasons. Your doctor obviously has you on it for a reason. You need to discuss him if that is to be used long term. It's working differently. It's known as a proton pump inhibitor, which is very scientific and pharmacological, whereas slippery elm is working quite differently. What it's doing is working at a local level, putting, if you like, a protective barrier on the membrane, which works well and could work very well with your Nexium, and may even lead to a situation where your doctor might decide to give you a try on the slippery elm on its own, seeing your condition is seemingly quite mild.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. I will add it to my list of tablets that we buy.
Well, look, that's okay. If you're not buying those, well, you could be missing out on something, couldn't you?
We've got so many.
Well, look, I have no hesitation and no embarrassment in saying that I have a routine of taking a bracket of supplements in the morning and a bracket of supplements at night. But I would say this, that each of the supplements that I take, I call these things supplements, but each of these natural medicines that I take, herbally based that is, they are taken for a particular purpose. Yes. So even though I take quite a few, I believe, for instance, that the hawthorn is doing me good for my genetic predisposition for cardiovascular problems. Yes. I believe the herb saw palmetto is helping me, even at this late stage of life, to not have to have what's called a TUR. I guess I'm saying what I'm taking is not just being taken for the fun of it with fingers crossed, but it's taken for a particular purpose. Now, why do I say that? Because you've heard me say on this program, as would many listeners, that I believe that people take too many things, and they take too many things half the time, in my opinion, not having a good reason as to why they're taking them. Now, there's more and more information coming out, in certainly in the British press. I read the British newspapers every weekend, and in the Australian press. But in the British newspaper last weekend, there was an excellent article on the abuse of natural supplement, herbal medicine supplements, vitamin supplements, an abuse that is really being, if you like, market-driven. Now, I'm not saying that that is right or wrong, but I'm saying be cautious that what you're taking is being taken sensibly for a purpose that you have discussed ideally with a healthcare practitioner, and don't just grab hold of something, I'm sure you're not, something that has been mentioned.
Everything that you've suggested, like when we listen to your program, if you say it's something for kidney health or liver health, that then I'll go online and I have a look and I write down what you say.
Yes.
And we've noticed on all of our, my husband and myself, our blood tests are improving, but we're taking the stuff, the vitamins that you say, but not just all of them. We're just doing them what we need.
Yeah, so good on you. Look,
we're doing that.
That makes me feel good because you would know I've not ever pushed any one particular product. I have tried to get over to people in my very many years in practice, which are obviously coming to an end, and my radio work, tried to get over to people, look, you can lift your game as far as your health is concerned by taking advantage of natural medications, which generally speaking are very safe, hence they do not need to be scripted, and which increasingly have a documentation to support their use. And if there's one thing that I can pride myself on at this very late stage of my career is that I think I've helped a lot of people via this program and in my practice in taking this line of thinking. You can take your herbs and supplements if there is a genuine need for taking it.
Thank you so much.
We've learned a lot. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thanks, Donna. I appreciate the call. Now, just quickly, Dennis, we've had an email from Katie at Belmont South. She'd like to know if you can take the slippery elm powdered version in hot water or add it to a cup of tea.
That's a very good question. The thing with slippery elm is when it is mixed with any fluid, it will tend to expand and become very syrupy. And it may be all right to take in warm water. It has been traditionally taken in warm milk. I would like to add it to a cup of tea. That would ruin my morning cup of tea. So I wouldn't address it from that perspective, Katie. But look, slippery elm in a beverage form, I would be suggesting warm milk, but give it a chance to soak, if you like, because it will become a little bit syrupy. But if you like to try it as a cup of tea, well, who am I to say don't do it?
Okay. Well, there you go, Katie. He's answered your question. Newcastle Hunters 2 and URFM 103.7. This is Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart. We've got Andrew from Valentine on the line. Thank you for holding, Andrew. How can we help you?
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks, Dennis, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I suffer a lot from heartburn or reflux. Mm-hmm. Mainly gets me late in the evening, lying down in bed.
Yes.
And I've never heard of any before. I've never been to see anyone about it. But my greatest friend is bicarb soda.
Yeah, look, that bicarb soda, as you would probably appreciate, is a typical alkalizing agent.
Yeah.
And that is why it's effective in what we used to call hyperacidic conditions, reflux, in other words. Look, my view on it is that it's problematical if one is using it all the time. I would say if it was used very occasionally to treat an episode, like a big night out or something like that, it may be not a problem. But when you're using something like this ongoingly to alter the chemistry of the gut and lessen the acidic activity, I think you could do a bit better than that. If you haven't had the reflux investigated, take my advice, Andrew. Go and see your GP. There are better ways, in my opinion, to handle reflux than just taking on a regular basis bicarb soda. It works because it is an alkalizing agent, but the long-term consequences could be problematical. I'm being very conservative here because reflux, active or silent, could be quite a hazardous condition, and there are better ways of addressing it now, both using natural medication and also with some of the medication your doctor might prescribe. Even the use of herbs like slippery elm as a starting base would be useful. And I'll throw in something here, and I've not mentioned this too much to listeners, but there is a herb that was the famous herb used by the remarkable British herbalist known as Frank Roberts. Britain has created some remarkable medical herbalists, and I owe a lot to them. If anyone comes to my consulting room, it will see photographs of some of these giants who established Western herbalism in the United Kingdom, which became the yardstick for the system elsewhere. But Frank Roberts was a genius and wrote a book called Modern Herbal Treatment for Digestive Disorders. If it's still available, and I say this for students and practitioners out there, grab it. You'll learn more from Frank Roberts on conditions of the gut for which he develops herbal treatments than many of the more trendy books out there purporting to do the same. Roberts suggested the well-known and harmless herb known as meadowsweet. I'll pause there so you can write it down. Meadowsweet, yep. Not a well-known herb, but Roberts considered it as being the normaliser of gut functioning. In other words, he recommended it as a remedy that could be used for an overactive gut chemistry or an underactive gut chemistry, used to basically normalise the acidity of the stomach, and taken ongoingly as a safe potential remedy, to use simple terminology, to balance out the tendency for reflux. Think of Frank Roberts, who saw the herb meadowsweet used ongoingly, either as a simple herbal tea or as a fluid extract, as an ongoing medication to address the recurring nature of this problem in your case. Now, having said that, I would say that meadowsweet, based on Roberts's brilliant work and my use of meadowsweet over many years, in conjunction with the use of slippery elm, is not a bad way of addressing this problem. But I come back to the point of saying reflux is not just something that one needs to tolerate. It's something that's been around in your case for a while. I'd get it looked at, Andrew, and get your doctor to give you advice on it. But what I've suggested is pretty safe and may do just as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dennis. I think I'll try your remedy first.
I've got to say, listen, you might be better to see your GP. Now, I'm being very diplomatic, but that's the right thing for me to say. Okay.
Yep. Good luck,
anyway,
Andrew.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. And we've got Michelle from Cameron Park on the line. Thanks for holding, Michelle. You want to talk about nerve pain?
Yes. Hi, everybody. Yes, I've got nerve pain, particularly in my neck. I've got a quite badly degenerated neck. And I'm just looking at, is there something that I can use rather than painkillers, anti-inflammatories and that I seem to be living on these days?
Okay. Look, the pain itself, that is incapable of being resolved. Like, have you had any surgical considerations or physiotherapy or any of the manipulative techniques on it?
They have suggested surgery, but I would really, fusion, in fact, which I'd really rather not do.
I understand. Look, the best that I could recommend would be to try some of the, how can I call it, gentler analgesic and anti-inflammatory remedies from the herbal camp.
Yeah.
And two of my favourites, one of them is based on the oldest anti-inflammatory and mild analgesic, and that is willow bark. Now, it's not well appreciated today that willow bark was the basis of many, many anti-inflammatory and analgesic preparations. It can be procured as a simple encapsulated preparation and taken in the right dose, as stipulated in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, has no reason not to give some benefit from the pain and discomfort, the inflammation that you're experiencing. The other herb that I recommend is a more modern representative of the herb turmeric. Turmeric, as you would know, is the basis of curry, but it contains a principle known as curcumin. Now, curcumin, as an isolate from turmeric, has a growing reputation as a mild remedy for addressing mild conditions of pain and inflammation. I would suggest you think about those. You could even try them. They're pretty well harmless. And I would suggest that what you do is talk to your pharmacist about a preparation that incorporates arnica and also incorporates the oleoresin of capsicum. Now, I know that was a mouthful, but they're two herbs that form the basis of quite a few topical applications applied to the area that have a proven benefit behind them. There's, in other words, a physiological explanation how a liniment or a rub, if we like to call them that, based on the oleoresin of capsicum and also based on the herb arnica, even today available from our pharmacies and health food stores, that's a good preparation or a good combination to try also, Michelle.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Do you have these preparations in your rooms?
I do, but look, you'd find them wherever you are.
Yeah.
Always I say to people, look, give your local health food store or pharmacy a go first. If you can't get any of the things that I mention, you're always welcome to come to my rooms at Newlampton.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. Bye. Bye. Now, Dennis, we've got about a minute and a half left.
Oh, what a pity.
I know, it's been
a
busy day. Now, do you want to add any more about slippery elm, or do you want to just give us a hint on the other two things that characterise herbal Western tradition?
Good question. I had been looking at three herbs to fulfil, if you like, the major representative character of Western herbalism. I wanted to talk also about the broad abilities of the herb golden seal. Remarkable remedy. Remarkable remedy. A remedy I would suggest to anyone interested in growing herbs. To grow golden seal, you'll get a very good holiday very quickly. If you do, it's such a pricey herb. I also wanted to talk about the herb echinacea and look at it in its many ways, many of which are still underappreciated. We'll do that next week.
Okay, and just quickly, do you want to just quickly sum up slippery elm?
Look, again, I would say slippery elm, see it as the great soother, the remedy that palliates inflammation, that regulates the gut and improves gut functioning. It can also be used as a helpful food for people that have trouble eating large portions. and is a great herb, particularly for convalescents and elderly people in perspective. I could go on all day, but I know you're winding me up.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dennis. We'll catch up with you next week. Health Naturally on 2NURFM.